Hello and welcome to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. This is the show where you achieve peak performance at any age. I'm your host, John Zombro, here with my co-host and bro and coach, Broach PK. Good day, PK.
Good day to you, John.
That felt really business-like. You know, I'm just punching it.
It did. It felt, and I think I replied in a very business-like manner. We're recording early. The sun hasn't yet come up. Maybe today is just all business.
Yeah, it's matter of fact, cock-a-doodle-doo, man. I mean, we are the roosters of the morning. Let's get it done.
I love it. Carry on.
Episode 91, and today we're talking about an exciting thing, the 531 Lifetime Athlete System.
John, why is this exciting?
Well, everything's exciting to me because I'm an excitable boy. I'm a 55-year-old boy. But anyway, here we go. This show came together over the past year or so as I reflected on, you know, what I'd been doing for the last 35 years. 35 years of work in human performance and also how, or as I guess I should say, this lifetime athlete model took shape, you know, driven by the peeps, the fam, and thank you for that. So I started to see more clearly the problem that defined my mission. And it's this, that everybody is born an athlete or born to be one. This is undeniable in the human genome. But too many folks either don't remain an athlete. Maybe they were very athletic at one point in their life and then it fades for different reasons. Or they never quite find the chance to discover, embrace, develop, and enjoy that beast for an entire lifetime. So that's what I'm going after, obviously, with the Lifetime Athlete and this 531 system. Simply put, it's this. Becoming and remaining a lifetime athlete is as easy as 531. So, and you know, folks, some of these things we're going to breeze over today because you've heard them before and you know them, but you're going to use the five foundational components of lifelong health. We're going to add to that the three essential elements of peak performance and ultimately become the one lifetime athlete for which your beastly human genes are programmed. We don't have to morph into an unathletic society. Let's take it back.
And John, while this was crystallizing in your mind, your thoughts have a bit of a zest to them. Your words today, it seems like you're fired up about this.
I am. It means a lot to me, and I want to help and reach a lot of people. I also heard a song. You know, this is a Sammy Hagar opportunity. So I'm going to give it a try. It's early for me, but let's just do it, man.
Let's do it.
Summer's gonna bring big fire. Summer gonna bring big fire. Water gonna bring big rain. Water gonna bring big rain. Oh, I got a feeling something's going on. I got a feeling something's going wrong. Something's going wrong. And that's what I have to say about that.
Bravo, bravo. Wow. I'm going to give you a little clap there. I hope you picked that up on my audio. Wow, that was magnificent, Jay-Z.
Wow, I don't even know how to respond. But, you know, so let's talk about that real quick. You know, Sammy and the boys at Chicken Foot, you know, that was one of his more recent ventures. Now he's with the Circle. But what those guys were really singing about there in that song, Something's Going Wrong, is, you know, all the calamity that we're having on the earth and the hurricanes and all the weather change, as well as the strife in humanity. And there's something that I see quite a bit, and I don't see it in this very close audience and community that we have at the Lifetime Athlete, but in the greater country and world, we don't have enough people being as athletic as they deserve to be. And that's really what's gone wrong. And I think what we can fix with this 531 system.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, illustrating that, yeah, I mean, you're not even saying, I mean, you're distinctly saying something's gone wrong. This is bad.
Yeah, and right away we get into what's the definition, you know, that I'm getting as that everyone is or can be, should be an athlete. And that can vary from anything, you know, to playing competitive sports if that's your jam, to playing with your grandkids. And so being athletic is all inclusive. It's a necessary part of the optimal human experience, and it's really available if we do just a few things.
Right. And, you know, it's whatever it means to you, whomever's listening, whoever you're talking to, you know, it could be just those things that you described. It could be acting in a play. It could be doing yard work, physically walking. I mean, it runs the whole gamut, but it's kind of like, you know, it when you see it, and you also know when it's not there.
Holy hell. Yes. And you know, when you feel it. And so that mind, body, and spirit, they can't be separated. You know, it's like when you're on fire, on top of the world, that's just a great feeling. And you feel good physically, you feel good mentally. Being athletic of mind and of spirit really is concomitant and synonymous with body. I mean, we don't need to take the human beast and separate it into categories. It's one giant, awesome animal.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's get into the system then. I know that, you know, at the end when we conclude here, we'll talk about how as an audience member you can get your hands on this program, but let's lay out the fundamentals and let's, I guess, start with the five then.
Yeah, so this is the part where I'm going to be quick because I think folks know this, but the five foundational components for lifelong health are really those things that we spend a lot of time developing with the lifetime body on the way to the lifetime athlete. So first of all, we've got, you know, the five quick categories: food, movement, sleep, ergonomics, and awareness. And really the big message with food is the thing that was written on bathroom walls in the 70s, eat shit and die, motherfucker. And what I mean by that is just sharing that is don't eat shit. You know, if you do that, you're most of the way there. Eat the plant-based diet. Looks like it comes from the earth. And then personalize it with an open mind, no bias, and keep experimenting and keep it dynamic through your lifespan.
Absolutely. And Jay-Z, you're bringing the heat this morning. We got bleeps. This is passion represented in just unfiltered truth coming out of you. I do think that we're just going to cover these briefly, but we have several episodes where we dive into these more fundamentally and deeper. So if you're not familiar with these, you know, perhaps, John, you can link to that or we can mention it at the end in an addendum. But if you're curious about any of these five elements in more detail, there's more information on lifetimeathlete.com to get in there. Starts with food. Talk to me about movement.
Okay, so because I care, and that's where the passion's coming from, I care, I believe, I concern, get off your ass and get 10 hours a week minimum of movement. And we know that movement breaks down into two things. One is general daily activity, get an hour a day for 7 hours weekly, and find a way to love and embrace exercise for a total of 3 hours weekly. So you add the 7 and the 3, and that equals 10. That's what we need. In the exercise, there are five categories that, you know, we want to touch on to be optimally healthy humans, not even peak performing yet, but just healthy. And that's low intensity, steady state or aerobic exercise, mobility, stability training, resistance and strength training, some high intensity, whether you call it interval or repetition training, and then maximum velocity, extended rest or sprint type training. Those are the categories that we need to taste in exercise to be optimal functioning and healthy human beasts. No compromise.
I love it. Okay, what's the third one on the list of five here?
Get some sleep. Get a lot of sleep. Get 7.5 to 9 hours per night of high quality. And you know how you do that? You control your daily lighting. Get light early and have bright light through the day and have it dim in the evening. Cool, dark bedroom. Those are some of the sleep hygiene tips that we use. But in reality, almost everybody needs that 7.5 to 9 hours. And as I like to say, yes, there are outliers who can get by with less, but there's also a chance some of those people are just plain liars.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Talk to me about the fourth item on the list.
Bam. Ergonomics. So ergonomics is really this, you know, make your work not stuck with your workstation, your position, and your habits. Make it additive to your overall health. And people say, well, that's not easy. Actually, it is easy. And all you have to do is learn a little bit about certain habits and applications and set up things. And of course, I have that available on my Healthy Workstation ebook for anyone who wants to look up one of those programs on the menu. But moving on, ergonomics is good. We also need to have this awareness. And that's not woo-woo. It's actually who, as in the who, telling you to know yourself, like, who are you? And that's what I want to say. Find that fit and flow that you know yourself, you can fit into your day and life a little more effectively. And by the same token, know others and communicate and collaborate better with them. Have more harmony.
I love it, John. That was passionate, succinct, and just as a brief refresher here, the five of this 531 program are food, movement, sleep, ergonomics, and awareness. More information on the Lifetime Athlete is available in each of those, but I do think that you summarize it really nice or nicely, because that's the foundation. You do need that lifelong health. Okay, we've got that. Let's say that someone has those fundamentals down, foundation is built. Where do we go from here?
I think we can be almost as quick in the description of the three essential elements of peak performance.
Talk to me.
Okay, so those things are training, recovery, and mindset. So if I look at training first, so training, that's just a word that's near and dear to me. I love that word. I love doing it. I love talking about it. What training does is it gives exercise a meaning and a purpose, making it more effective. It takes exercise to the next level and fulfills not only our needs for health, which we just talked about in the movement scenario, but fitness and performance and preservation of basic functions. You know how as humans, we talk about we need to, hinge, push, pull, squat, lunge, twist, etc. We need to preserve those things with our training. And also, lastly, the element of play. It should never leave our existence.
Interesting. So when we have training, it becomes training when it's involved with a goal. Like, so when you say a meaning and a purpose, are you talking about a goal specifically, or just, are we talking about that pull language that we've talked about at length here about moving towards something? How do you help people articulate that purpose? If let's say they don't have an athletic goal per se.
Bro, you're not baiting me. You're teeing me up. And you know what happened? You and I hit this out of the park a couple of weeks ago. And so if anybody wants to go just back a couple of episodes and look at the Lifetime Athlete podcast episode where we talked about the nuts and bolts of creating an effective training program. That's the title. So in answering your question, PK, yeah, just really quick, you have to have a plan that is based around a goal and it has a you-specific system. You have to execute, do that somewhat flexibly, record and track your data, and then adjust and assess and adjust the program based on that input, and then finally evaluate and strategize for the future. That's good programming. It's evidence-based. It's known in the sports science world, and we can even apply it to broader areas of our entire lives.
Absolutely, and I think that all of those, that sort of five-step program and the cycle that unfolds, what I've seen, what I've witnessed in you, help me as my coach, and just as you've talked about your work with other, your other clients, is that meaning and purpose has to be important to the individual embarking on this training program. So it really does have to, it can mean many different things, but it has to be important to you. And I think that's one thing that you've definitely helped me, and I've seen you help others articulate and then put a plan in place.
Precisely. And that moves me right into the next thing, recovery. So, when we think of recovery, you start to get into that, that's very true. What I would do a lot, actually a lot of times with my high school athletes, and I would tell them, I need you to heal hard. Because in their minds, they're thinking, man, I'm going to train hard. I'm going to work hard. That's how I'm going to achieve my goals. And there's some truth to that, yes. But if you put the same amount of focus and energy into recovery, Between your training sessions, you're going to absorb them better, adapt better, and really view recovery as not just the passage of time, but the process of active engagement in various things that do, you know, enhance or at least don't slow down your body's ability to recover.
I like how you said process of active engagement. Okay. What are, if you were just to highlight a few of the things that perhaps are not incorporated into recovery, if you're recovering hard, what are you doing?
Well, you're even now more strategically utilizing sleeping and maybe naps. You know, so you're really recognizing that when you apply the stress of training or competition to a body, it has a rebound effect where it oftentimes needs more and better sleep. So you do more things to make sure that you get that, prioritize it, value it. With food or fuel, you know, there we need to, on an ongoing basis, you know, keep that body well nourished and healthy and have the building blocks it needs. But also we need to fuel training, we need to replenish after. We want to look at that GDA or the movement that is really non-negotiable for all humans as essential for athletes. You don't just do a workout and then lay on the couch. You move throughout the day, and that helps your circulatory perfusion, exchange of nutrients, waste product removal. So you actually recover better by moving, not by being sedentary. Hello. And then we look at stress balance. So, you know, we know that there's are a lot of things we can call stressors in the world. You know, it can be exercise and training. It can be traffic. It can be interactions with others, deadlines. You start to name these things. Well, if you go through and you say, well, okay, these are stressors that I can manipulate or change or do something about. Most of the time you can do that with almost anything except the weather. Then you can create stress balance. And so, you know, if you're in a hard training mode, as sometimes we have that as athletes, you want to probably make your life a little less challenging in other means, or vice versa. If you've got, you know, a bunch of things going on, it's a business trip and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, that might not be the time to try to crush every workout. So just using some common sense there, another lifetime athlete principle. And then lastly, you know, when we look at the people around us, isn't it awesome when, you know, you have a support group that recognizes what you're doing, you know, athletically. And so that actually helps you to recover and enhances, you know, your ability to do that when people understand, you know, what you're all about. So that's, you know, real quick. And then I've got just a couple more. Okay. Recovery also involves training, you know, so we don't just train hard and then do nothing and then train hard again. That's not really the way to make the most gains. We use light training, you know, auxiliary training, recovery training. So we do, you know, workouts of lesser duration or intensity, but they're still important to help us to ingrain movement patterns and refine our movements and maintain other aspects of our conditioning. And then the last thing that I think we all will think about these days is you've got, you know, things like tissue work, whether that's a massage from the professional or you're hitting the foam roller or other device, you're using some various heat therapies, cold therapies, compression garments, you know, this list can get very long, but these are all the things bundled together that help you to recover most effectively, which is so key in going after a peak performance.
Absolutely. I loved everything that you just described there as being recovery techniques to, you know, things you can do, but might not traditionally be thought of. Okay. So the third thing in this three is mindset. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. And we know the winners. Hopefully we are and want to be those people, but you know them. The people that kick the most ass have that positive, you know, I can, I will, I do, I am attitude. They're not Debbie or Darren Downers. And they're also flexible. They're like, okay, look, you know, a curveball came in, but I adjusted my swing and I got a base hit out of it. Okay, I'll take it. And then, and they're realistic also. You know, it's like, okay, but sometimes we have to upregulate the goal and the program to really match some awesome things going on. But more often than not, it's like, okay, a light manure storm splattered down. Couldn't really control that. So I'm just going to downregulate, change a few things. And using that realistic mindset enables the winner to keep winning.
John, I love it. I love it. Okay. So We built the foundation. Now we're incorporating the three elements of peak performance. Talk to me about what happens next.
Okay. So I spring out of that mindset, you know, and it's positive, flexible, and realistic. And I also want to mention there's a team aspect to it. So it doesn't matter how, let's say, solitary or antisocial a human thinks they are. All humans, to some degree, are social beasts. And so what we need to do with that mindset is ask others for help, surround ourselves with people who care about us and want us to succeed. And you know what? Be that very same person for others.
Love it.
So that's power. But then what happens is you do all these things and lo and behold, guess what? You know, you become a lifetime athlete.
Ooh, I like this. All right. Well, how are we defining a lifetime athlete?
Okay, so, you know, this is the bleep show for me. It's rare, but I don't know whether it's because we're early, there's a lot of coffee on board, who knows, but that athletic human beast through the lifespan is really hard to kill. I mean, your ship just works better, and it lasts longer with less breakdown, and isn't that what everyone deserves?
Absolutely.
A lifetime athlete is strong as fuck.
Oh, I like it. All right. Tell me about that. How did you arrive? Here we are, episode 91. We got the bleeps involved. What do you mean by that?
Well, they're physically stronger people. So that, you know, they actually have the maintenance of muscle mass and type 2 muscle fibers, fast twitch fibers. They're strong and capable, good bone density. And that also makes the human more durable and less fragile. And there's studies that show, you know, one of the more interesting ones that I, you know, came across recently is people who are in the hospital on laying in the beds had their grip strength tested. And those with the strongest grips got out of that bed, got well, and went home to a much greater degree than the people with weak grips, many of whom perished.
Really?
Yeah. It's just undeniable. You got to be strong in whatever level. I mean, not my body type's never going to let me be like Brian Shaw, strongman, 450-pound guy lifting Atlas. That's not going to happen. But you know what? I can be pretty doggone strong for a guy my size, my age. And I am.
And you are indeed. I'm glad that you qualify that because, again, it's not some sort of objective. There's not a chart here. It's just strong as fuck for who you are. And what age you are and where you're at. And so I think that that's an important consideration.
Next one up, fast as hell.
I think that's, I think that makes sense, but is there any sort of nuances that you need to add to that?
Well, maximum velocity is the fountain of youth, right? There's been some famous coaches that have said that. I didn't come up with that. But really that maintenance of speed is, we're genetically wired to have it. And you see the kids playing on the playground, you know, that doesn't go away due to genetic program. It goes away because we give it away and we don't keep it up. Well, it turns out that speed is deeply tied to writing reactions and maintenance of balance and decrease of fall risk, as well as just the ability to enjoy moving quickly. So it's a requirement for a peak performing human, but it's also a wonderful benefit to have to be fast. And you know, so fast, obviously the most clear definition we think of is just like say sprinting or running. Not everyone is capable of doing that for various health or orthopedic reasons, but they can still find ways to maintain and develop rapid movement patterns in other ways, which again are performance enhancing and protective of longevity.
Love how you said that, rapid movement patterns. That just applies so broadly. And if you are a lifetime athlete, you're incorporating some of those. You're not only capable of doing it, but you're actually doing it on a some sort of a frequent basis. Okay, what's next on this list?
Mobile as a shapeshifter.
tell me what you mean by that.
Well, if we are doing peak performance training that we, you know, talked about before, we're incorporating the kinds of training that keep our bodies supple, fluid, agile beasts. And sure, that's totally important. You know, from a sports perspective, we want to have quality movement patterns and the ability to, you know, own position and shape and movement. Sometimes we use those kinds of terms in the PT world. But in reality, it kind of comes back to that basic mobility. You know what? Again, the studies are extremely supportive. Can you get down on the ground and get back up and do that in multiple ways with no pain or difficulty? You know, can you, all the things you have to do in life, you start thinking about it, you know, it's like getting in and out of a vehicle, putting things up on the shelf, cleaning the toilet, mopping the floor, tying your shoes. All of a sudden, that peak performance athletic stuff that really helps you to be a beautiful mover also gives you that bonus of, hey, you know what? You can keep doing the stuff you love. You can do your gardening and you can play with those grandkids because you've maintained the mobility. You're not stiff, weak, and slow. And guess what? Stiff, weak, and slow are the critters that get eaten and die. So if you're trying to be a lifetime athlete, you're hard to kill. You know what you are. You're strong as fuck, fast as hell, and mobile as a shapeshifter.
Well said. Is there anything else on this list?
Tireless as the wind.
Tireless is the wind. Now, the wind ain't got no quitting it, so that's pretty tireless.
You know, and like, there's a lot of wind in me this morning. I, folks, this is the earliest time we've ever done the podcast, and I don't know. This might be my window, but because I feel tireless as well. But, you know, the point would be, yeah, it gets back into the same, you know, hard-to-kill thing. I mean, we, you know, and you need a certain amount of endurance to go through the day. And then what if you have a day that's like, you know, it's a plus one day or a plus two day or whatever. All of a sudden there are more demands placed upon you. Well, if you're tireless as the wind, you just do it. You get it done and you're not destroyed from it. Whereas if you have very little, you know, ability or capacity to endure, well, you know, you're at risk of getting eaten. Again, eaten by life, bit in the ass, kicked in the ass. And we don't need that.
No, we don't. And okay, I'm absorbing this in sort of real time, just in parallel with the audience out there. So I guess my question is, we're tying it all together. What does all this mean in sort of real life terms? If you were to sort of step back and summarize it, everything we talked about today.
Yeah, and I know that I'm animated because, you know, I'm the author of Animal Fit. You know, why don't you unleash your inner beast and unlock your athletic potential? So really what all this means is you're going to crush your sports performances. I mean, that's not easy. You know, it takes work, it takes intelligence, it takes application, but the people who do these things, they maintain excellent health as a platform and then they train really specifically, get the most results. And so crushing sports performances is great. And, you know, sports, athletics, again, you know, whether you're going to say that's you're in the hockey league or it is your garden or it is the Frisbee game that you're playing with your grandkids, that's what I'm talking about there. So let's make sure we know. But also, you just get more done at work. You know, that a hard to kill human is hard to kill in all capacities. You have better relationships because all of a sudden now you have more energy for life, more enthusiasm for it. You feel good, and that good feeling and highly functioning body really carries over into how you relate to others and how they perceive you.
Absolutely.
I feel like I'm on a pulpit, but anyway.
No, I'm just absorbing, John. Keep it going. I don't want to slow you down.
Well, and this is not necessarily esoteric. This is just good looking at genetics. You're going to look and feel better. You know, so what I mean by that is, okay, so you're going to have a lean, healthy, fit body, a good complexion, you know, tissue and skin. We've talked about tissue quality before on the show. Everything's just going to be optimal for a human. You're not going to be, you know, an exhausted, you know, rash covered, and I'm not trying to be, you know, we're not gonna have so much of that, and this also includes a lot of things. You know, we talked about relationships, but even like sexual function. You know, this show's not going too far there, but you know, the point would be the body and the mind that is working well. It's working well on all capacities. And so that's, you know, worth mentioning. And then, you know, lastly, I would say, with this high energy bolt of information today, love you, Usain Bolt. Thanks for all you've given us in inspiration. You're going to redesign the health span graph. And so if I explain that, I've only talked about that briefly on the show, but if you have lifespan and health, so lifespan would be on the horizontal, you know, axis of your graph, and then health is vertical. So you want to have high health that goes for a long life, right? So in today's society, when you look at some of those people laying in the hospital beds with the weak grip, their graph starts out kind of high, and then it trickles down and has kind of generally a long, slow fade to black. And that's not a good life. Whereas these lifetime athletes, you know, doing these things that are helping them kick ass at in and for life, what they're getting out of this is a high graph that goes a long way, or high line on that graph, and then just a quick plummet at the end. Isn't that what we all want and deserve?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, if you're asking, yeah, that's what we want.
Yeah, I think we really put that point out there. So, oh, right now, folks, let me just say, you know, I'm on the content train. I think you can feel it. You know, there's quite a few shows and things coming out, more to come. I've got a goal with this podcast of busting out our 100th show by year end. Some of those will be solo-sodes, but PK will be in on that with me. Love you for that, PK. And my goal really is to share more information about movement in different contexts. You know, we've looked at things like the quality, the economy, the efficiency of movement. Recently, I shared some data about metabolic versus mechanical conditioning or training, you know, kind of the Metcon topic. And coming up, we're going to tackle that ever popular and often debated term, functional movement. So, you know, some practitioners are really against the use of the word. They call it the F word. I don't quite have that opinion, but I'll flesh it out in the talk, and I can barely wait.
Yeah. And so just to sort of set the benchmark, today's the 17th of December. We have about half the month left to get 9 more episodes to get to the even 100. So I'm excited to tag along for some of those and to check out the solosodes as you publish them. We do want to thank everyone for listening. Hopefully you're gathering some of those pearls of peak performance and wellness wisdom. And if, especially as we've been talking through this 531 system today, if you want a free copy, which is in the form of a 15-page PDF, all you have to do is go to thelifetimeathlete.com and subscribe to the Peak Performance Update. When you do that, you'll get a free downloadable PDF, and that really is John's gift to you in the pursuit of excellence. Also, what you'll get on a weekly basis are updates on all the latest and greatest science in peak performance. So if you're interested, if you want to check out more in depth, that 15-pager is just right at your fingertips. Just head over to lifetimeathlete.com and subscribe. Also, if you like what you're hearing here, please rate and review. It really helps. 5 stars, 5 stars if you dig what you're hearing. Also, if you really want to send this over, you can share what we're doing with the people that you know who really want to kick some ass. So until next time, this is the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. And I am PK. I'm going to go ahead and sign up for Coach Jay-Z as well. Wish you a peak performing life.
Adios.